Okay.
So, welcome, okay. Andreas.
Do you hear me? I hope so. I'll move this here and maximize it because I only need text mode. The presentation. Okay, I'll introduce it first. Does the mouse not work? Here it is. So this will be the presentation. The outset is that, well, I'm the computer geek amongst my friends, and if one of the friends has had 10 years ago a digital camera with SD card, and the SD card suddenly went, well, I don't remember any of your photographs, then they would pass the SD card to me, and I would say, well, I will have a look if I can restore some of the photographs from it. And yes, that was the outset. Originally, I used shell scripts. I used shell commands to split up the raw data from the SD card and used Unix file command to identify each cluster. And it found lots of false positives. It thought, okay, this cluster is a binary for ancient hardware platform. It wasn't really usable. So I ended up turning more and more of it into Ticker. And yeah, now the question, of course, is not, I cannot restore data from SD cards where maybe Straßenwalze, maybe someone can tell me the English word for Straßenwalze. Well, some that are physically destroyed, I have, of course, no. Okay, where the thing run over is I cannot restore, of course. The minimum dependency is that I can still read the raw data from the device. Only then I can start even trying to restore anything. Also, if someone really used some tool to actively zero out all the blocks, then my chances are also pretty zero. It's usually, but there is also, it's not just really a physically breaking. It may be that someone does a soft format on a SD card and then says, ooh, but I had these photographs on it, I want them. There are big chances that the photographs can be restored. Or if a file has been just removed, bypassing the trash can, it's still on the medium. Yes, we have a big format. So, what are the requisites? I need a computer that allows me raw access to the device. Well, in my case, it's a Linux machine, of course. I need the standard utilities hex, dump, and grep. I would replace those by Ticker scripts too, but those two are just way faster than anything I could come up in Ticker. So for some parts, I still use hex, dump, and grep. Ticker, of course, because most of the scripts down there are Ticker scripts. Then there's a small helper tool. If I want to specify a list of clusters, a range of clusters, then I use this tool and I tell this tool I want clusters from 1 to 42, for example, and it will output a list from 1 to 42. A bit similar to what the new L sequence command in Ticker will do, but still different enough that I have a separate utility for it. Scan for all is the main utility that I'm presenting today. And then when I start a project, a particular SD card, I open a new directory for it. I have to create a params file, which will contain basic information that I do not want to pass with each call to scan. So these parameters are just placed once, and then I don't have to care about them anymore. So the question is now raw data. Maybe most of you only have seen disks mounted to the computer and the computer shows a file system. What's really on a disk in a raw format? Well, you have, depending on the age of the disk, there are some differences, but usually you have a partition table, you have a boot sector, you have the so-called file allocation table, but that's all boring because those files are not reliable if I want to restore data from a disk. If it's soft formatted, for example, it will present me completely misleading information, so I just ignore that part. So then there is a main directory entry. In newer media, as you have it in smartphones, it's a bit different, but similar enough that the tool will handle both cases. And then there's then one cluster after the other. Each cluster is usually, well, you have the physical block, yeah, the physical blocks are sector size, that's usually half a kilobyte, and then that would be too fine-grained, you would need too much bytes for the management, so usually more of these sectors are collected for a cluster, and then you only manage the clusters. The downside of this is that if you have a really small file, it will still take the disk space of a whole cluster, but, well, usually that's not a problem. So, what does scan4all do, my script? It has five subcomments. First one is grep. Well, that's using, it's calling hex dump and grep with some predefined patterns that will find JPEGs. Then I've got the analyze step. The grep is the preparation. I need this to get together plausible parameters for the params file. So the next one is the analyze. This will make a better guess at what each cluster might belong to, what type of file. Then I have known. Originally this was JPEG because my script only recognized JPEGs. Eventually I made some recognition of movie files. I added movie files, and then I said, okay, anything that the script knows will be restored. And then there are cases where when files are not contiguous on the disk, but fragmented. Fragmentation is the keyword for this. Then I have the information, and I can say, okay, I will collect this range of sectors and that range of sectors and this sector here, and it will collect these two in another one file that which then hopefully contains just the information I want. So, and finally, on the disk there are also the directory entries, which have, if they are working, they are not reliable, but if they are working, they might help me find the original name to some of those files I recovered. Last time I used it, it was such that exactly those files that my friend was interested in were those that were not linked in the directory, so, and those in the directory were those that he found on the file system anyway, so it's not the most important part, linking, but sometimes it's a nice extra, sometimes it works. So, now I've prepared a disk image, so I'm not letting you wait for my reading in a real SD card. I've prepared a small image of a 128 megabyte SD card. And for this, I'll now start a new session here. And here's the disk image. And now I'll switch back to this. I will use a copy of this initial params block. Paste. So I need one initial file because the scan4all is written trivially. It just sources this one and extracts the environment variables. And if the environment variables do not exist, then the script won't even start. So now let's do the first step. I've prepared it such that the script themselves is in a directory that is included in the path, so I can just start scan4all directly. I will do a grep. So it's now grabbing, and it's telling me that the result file is hard-coded as all starts. And we'll have a look at the start, but while it... oops, I think I pressed the wrong button, yes. This one I wanted to press. Here we see already what will be the result of it. And this, these things are... this is the hexagram. These things, that looks like a JPEG. That is... For someone who, is in, who has seen hex dumps of JPEGs, yes, that looks like a JPEG. And now the interesting part is, I need to know, I do not yet know the actual size of clusters that this file system uses, and I do not yet know how much of the initial garbage we have on the disk that I want to ignore. So I have only dummy values here for the time being. And now this thing will help me determine the block size. And with a little math, hexadecimal math, I see that all starts of JPEGs actually are all multiples of hexadecimal 1000. And I also see that, that after these zeros, I have both even and odd numbers. So the block size is 1000, and I will just edit. It's here. It's not yet done. But so multiples of 0, 1000, and so we will say, we'll edit the params and write block size is this once it's ready. Is it ready? No, not yet. So then let's start. Go on. Once I have a params file with the correct thing, the next thing would be I look at the image file in a hex viewer. Well, that's usually, I use hex dump on the whole image, pipe less, and then I will look and skip over. So it's not yet, but I'll do this part ahead. So I'll start a third session here, and we'll do hex dump, disk, pipe less. Then here we have the boot sector. Then this thing where you always see the letters counting up, that's the file allocation table. We'll skip over that. There are two copies of it, so it will go quite a bit down. So that's the second copy. Where is it? Skipped over it. So here, and here this is the end of the file allocation table, and here this is where the directory starts. You see that's the old DOS directories. Newer directories look slightly different, but my script can do the newer ones also. But I've used an old one for the test here. For a demonstration. In our case, this is actually the correct main directory. It will contain a test disk, is a volume label that does not correspond to a file. We will ignore it later. Then we have a keynote file. This I downloaded from internet. Is a keynote from John Osterhout, which I copied on the Medium just for the test. And then there are some images. And then there's another subfolder for more. And it will contain some more images, but they come later. So the point of this is that I'll just assume that this might be the start where the real clusters start. I'll already say it's wrong. I'll later notice that the clusters actually only start two later. This is off by two, but that doesn't matter. We will deal with this later. So the point is, I know now, for the time being, I know that this is the offset I want. Now I'll have a look if this is... it's still not ready. It was fast on my machine at home. so let's go to the pre-prepared stuff. So I know that at this location, this is where the directory starts, and we will edit the offset to start here. So and the next thing will be, okay, I see Harald comes here, so I'll probably skip the hands-on test and just continue with this here. And we analyze it, and the analysis reports that it finds some completely null clusters, something that looks like an MP4 movie, then some JPEGs, a directory, some JPEGs, and an end. This is not quite the whole information. I will get more information out of my script, because at this point I see that the MP4 might go until there's a cluster before this one. And I do not yet see where are the holes between JPEGs and the next JPEG, for example. I do not see them at this time here. I will see them later. So, next thing is, we know that at the beginning of this block, we saw a directory, so my script did not recognize this type of directory. It only recognized subdirectories which start with a dot and a dot dot entry. So I can manually replace the null by a line where I say, I know there is a subdirectory, I just edit this file and say, there is a subdirectory over there. So, then the next thing is now extracting the really known things. And this will write out a second file, which looks in syntax similar to the original file. But it now tells, it has recognized a JPEG, and it knows exactly this JPEG goes from this cluster to this cluster. And this, the meaning of this is, for example, in this case, if I know that the JPEG actually only extends to this cluster, then I know that these clusters are still free. They are not part of the JPEG that I found before. Now, this is the information I need to also later be able to extract the MP4. Yes, there was another trick, because the subdirectory entry that it noticed, it actually was too greedy. It actually only should have gone to 2F here. To 9, this is decimal. So there's some retrying. I collect it as it would look like from the gaps. The play file then is not playable. Then I notice that the subdirectory actually is one cluster smaller, so I recollect it with a different, one of the numbers here is different, and then this thing is actually the video clip, but the video clip now has some trailing garbage at the end, because actually I added to the video clip everything until the end of the physical media, and not everything of that is part of the MP4. That does not matter, because if the MP4 was not fragmented, then my script would even recognize, based on the internal structure of the MP4, okay, this is probably the end, the real end of the thing, and would just extract the MP4 as it is. Here I have, at this point, I would have a very large file. Okay, so then I will skip this one. The step of scan for unknown actually also dumps stuff to the standard output. I skipped it from here. This is how it parses the directory entries. So I can. These directory and each directory entries also says that this file starts at this particular cluster number, but as I already said, I misjudged the start of the cluster numbering, so all the directory entries tell me different numbers than what I extracted. So in this case, I'll just edit this file, add 2 to each of these numbers, and then the directories match the cluster numbers that I extracted. I could as well have changed the OBS, the offset to account that where the cluster 0 actually starts, but in this case it was easier to just edit this one. And after I do it, then it only says that it has a problem with this test disk. That's the volume label that doesn't really have data, so that can be ignored. And that was this link. It then creates links to the actual, these are the files that it extracted in the known phase. The movie file I've created with the collect, and I had to move it also into the movie file. It only automatically copies it into the movie in the M directory if it's not fragmented. The fragmented ones I have to move there manually. But in the end, if it's there and I call the link, then it will assign names and it will add the names, the original names as a suffix to the name, to the automatically generated name based on the cluster position. So, and one last thing the scan for all work. How many minutes can we?
Around minus four.
Minus four. I actually want to extract wrong key. I want to extract this information because then we see the image files. So I'll how far will I have to go up? I need this one. And the other one I memorized myself. So I'll first have to edit the params file according to the new information. So the offset is this one. So this one, and the block size is 000. That's fine. Then the known run, I think it's a bit faster. So I'll just say foo. Sorry, I need to do the analysis, but it won't take as long as the grep. Analyze, I can just do the first letter. And I give it some output file. Once then I will do the known, turn from true to, I'll probably not have time to restore the video, it's just one taken from YouTube, but maybe if we can see the photographs that it will restore from the image. So this is done. Next thing is foo bar. Here we will now also see the directory entries. I did not, but that doesn't matter. I did not do the correction of the main directory. That doesn't matter, so it only finds the subdirectory here. But once it has it, yes, then I can go into out and J. And here are all extracted JPEGs. That directory did not originally exist. And I'll just show them. I hope they appear on this screen and not on the other one. No? How long does it take to... it appeared on this screen, so let's move it here. So that's one of the images. It's Castle Schönbrunn in Vienna. Then switching to the next one. This is the second building belonging to the Castle of Schönbrunn. It's up on the hill. And then there are some photographs from... That's the main building on the roof. This is the orangerie. There are some tropical trees inside this glasshouse.
So for people catching the night train tonight, like Thorsten, this is just on the way.
Exactly.
So it was there last year.
And there are some statues, which are kind of funny. I think next one is already with the first one. Yeah, back to first one.
Andreas Leitgeld. Are there any questions? Well, lots of them.
Have you ever tried the PhotoRec utility that does very similar things, but on many more kinds of files?
Well, I know that there exists tools already on the market, some Windows tools for people who have no idea of the technique behind it. They just start a tool and it will try to restore. It probably does essentially the same thing, but with some more data about more files. But I noticed I actually only need JPEGs because that's usually the thing that people want to restore on their phones. And the other thing, well, and for example, and the other thing, I don't know the particular tool you mentioned, but is it a ticker script? No. Okay, other questions? Can't be.
But this is exactly what I miss. I miss the view of some lines of tickle code.
Oh, well, yes, that's...
If you
give me the time. I have here, there's the scan for all. So this is what this... let's start. Go to the end. It is... 400 lines. Oh, is it 400 lines? Yes.
Yes.
467 lines. I will start at the back end. This is the switch that passes my command invocations and, well, starts the particular procedures for each subcommand. And which I probably don't have time for everyone. Which step is the one that would interest you more? That would be worth some more extension of the time.
Yeah, well, we can do that offline, yeah.
Okay, maybe offline later, yes.
Thank you, Andreas.